Peter asked this question to Jesus, how many times I should forgive? Jesus answered very beautifully, 770 times, it's innumerable times. Forgiveness is not a mental exercise, forgiveness is a heart exercise. That's what we studied last Sunday. We said that how do I know that I have not forgiven? So three R's we said. If you go for revenge, retaliate, that means you have not forgiven. Resentment, if you keep anger about the person, anger over the perpetrator. And thirdly, if you remember, so we said three R's. So how do I know that I have forgiven? I said, I asked this question, how do I know I have not forgiven? So these three R's, how do I know that I have forgiven? Then these three things, we have to take it one look at it and said, giving up revenge, that involves sacrifice. Giving up resentment, anger against the perpetrator, the one who has done wrong to you. Thirdly, giving up the remembrance of the wrong that is done to you. If these things you give up, then you know that you have forgiven. Of course, forgiveness comes with a price. That's the reason we keep the cross. And when you forgive, that also goes with the price. So that's our discussion last Sunday. God has shown generosity to you, so why do you hesitate to extend the generosity to others? That's what we discussed. Giving up has a problem. You lose your power. Why do you don't want to forgive? Because we think that whatever I take as my strength, I'm giving up. The power is going out. In this context, Peter came to Jesus and said, what is in store for us? We left our parents, our family, our job, our possessions, and we followed you. What are we going to get? We left everything. In this context, Jesus said this parable, but Jesus responded and said, in this world, you will get everything hundredfold plus eternal life. You say that you have left everything, but no. You will get hundredfold. If you have left your father, you will have hundreds father. You will get hundredfold plus eternal life. In this context, Jesus told this beautiful parable, which was read to us some time ago. What is the title of this parable? Parable of the Grumbling Servants. We could give that title. Parables of the Workers in the Vineyard. Okay, we can go on having a title for this parable. Before we get into the parable, let's make some observation about this parable. Number one, it's a harvest time. Grape harvest. You had to harvest very quickly. You cannot waste time. If you take time, grapes will be wasted. Also, it's a rainy season. And as soon as you see a light, sun coming, you have to employ as many employees possible to have the harvest. It's a harvest time, so they cannot waste any more time. They have to hire employees. Secondly, one denarius is the wage of the day. It's an accepted wage of that time. even the people who came at 6 o'clock agreed to that wage. 1 denarius is a wage of a day. It's a 12 hours job, 6 to 6, morning 6 to evening 6, and you are given 1 denarius. Everybody agreed to that. But by reading this parable, we should not think that Jesus is establishing a new economic practice. People who work for 1 hour will be paid equally with people who work for 12 hours. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. What Jesus is teaching here is God's generous grace. God is magnanimous. His grace is bestowed on us generously, very generously. And his grace is poured on us equally and freely. I enter into God's kingdom through his grace. You entered into God's kingdom through his grace. So God's generous grace is our discussion from this parable. Okay, the landowner went out to find the laborers. He went to the marketplace to hire workers. I lived in Kuwait as well as in Dubai. I know the exact place where you can go and hire laborers. At a particular place, you go in the morning in your car, people stand there, some of them would be sitting with their lunch box. You go and say that I need a painter. So somebody will come. You take the person in your car. He comes and works at your home and you pay the daily wage. So you, I don't know how it functions here in Dutch, but in both places, Dubai as well as in Kuwait, I know exact the place where you can get laborers. So the same way, the landowner has gone in the morning at 6 o'clock and he saw people standing. He said, come, I have work in my vineyard, come. And he took them inside. Even in Kuwait, if you go at 10 o'clock, you will still find somebody standing there. Normally, the good people, the smart, the healthy ones picked up earlier, but the one who is not that great, they are left out. But you still find out, you still find some laborers at 10 o'clock. That's what exactly happening here. The 10 o'clock he went, in fact, he went at 6 o'clock, went the second time at 9 o'clock, still there were somebody. He went at 12 noon and 3 in the afternoon and 5 o'clock. 5 times he went and he hired people. In all the 5 times, the landowner went all by himself searching for the laborers or calling the laborers. He could have sent his supervisor and said, go find people. No. The landowner goes by himself. What is the message? The message is this: God comes to us personally and invites us. We are all invited by him, and he generously gives his grace so that we can embrace him. He comes to us individually and he says, come on, come and join with me in the vineyard. Come and join in my kingdom. I remember this, the church where I worked before in Dubai, every year we run a sports day. We hire a sports club and we run various sports events. For men, some specific games, and for women, some other games. I signed up pretty much everything, like football, throwball, badminton, cricket. I thought they would pick me. You know, we had captains for every team. No captains picked me. See, I am the pastor of the church. You know, they should put me in the first But none of them picked me. And at last, you know, the cricket team captain, he showed some mercy, and I was the last one to be picked up in the cricket team. I was so angry. When I was given an opportunity to bat, I wanted to hit sixes to show that I am worthy, which I did that. I know people who know cricket, they know what I mean. This is exactly the same here. People are not able to come at 6 o'clock. It is all because of some reason. Some reason they could not come at 6 o'clock. Could be family reason. Could be they are weak. Could be they are sick. They came even at 5 o'clock. That's something remarkable, isn't it? If I get 1/10 of the salary today, that's fine. I have got somebody to feed at home. Even if I get 1/10, that is fine. Even at 5 o'clock, somebody came. So we cannot simply think that the people who come 6 o'clock are great people and people who came at 5 o'clock are bad people. Some circumstances for the reason they came at 5 o'clock. The interesting thing is, in his vineyard, plenty of space. Any number of laborers can come and work. Plenty, plenty. You know, I know a group is saying that only heaven has got 144,000 seats. I don't know how boldly they can say that. They say that heaven has got only 144,000. I don't want to go into the theological debate to look at why 144,000 is mentioned in the Bible, but that's not what we read from the scripture. God welcomes everyone to his vineyard. Even if you are not able to come at 6 o'clock, he is still available for you to welcome you, but you had to come and show yourself available. Why these workers are picked up? Is it because of their skills? Is it because of their abilities? No, not at all. They were picked up because they were available. They are ready. They are ready to receive a job. And that's the only qualification. How are we accepted by God? Because we said, yes, Lord, I want to come to you. And he is more than willing to embrace us. So even the one who came at 5 o'clock, God has a space. God has a space. Now, 12 hours of work is over. And now the owner called the supervisor or the finance person and said, start giving the wage, the salary. As give from the one who came last to the one who came first. So you have to start from the last to the first. And everyone will get 1 denarius. Is it fair? When we were in Kuwait, our children were picked up by bus early morning at 6:30. They were the first to be picked up. And the bus will go through various places, pick other children. And by the time they reach the school, it is 8:15. And then 8:30, the school starts. But they have a system that whoever is picked up first, the child will be dropped first. So our children would come home first, and all other children will go late. Probably the last children to be dropped maybe at 5 o'clock. But our children would reach home by 3:45, 4 o'clock. That's a fair system. Here, the one who came at 6 o'clock has to wait for a long time to get his wage. Is it not unfair? Why did he do that? He did that just to show his generosity to the people. We will come to that. He did that just to show that the last one who came probably came because of some reason, so they should not be waiting for too long and they should go first. That could be number one reason. The number two reason is that the Lord wants the first one to come. The Lord wants the first one to come to know his generosity, what kind of a generous God he is. He wants the last one also to experience, and the first one also to be experienced. I'll try to explain as we go. It is God's generosity that we all entered in his vineyard. We all entered his vineyard. It's all because God's generosity. We are unworthy. We are not fit. We are not fit to enter in his territory, enter in his kingdom. But God graciously sent his son Jesus and he invited us. He called us. That's his generosity. I cannot demand saying that I should be the person inside first. No, I have absolutely no such right in me. No, we all stand before him seeking his mercy, seeking his grace, and he is willing to give that grace. What a great God. He's more than willing to embrace. We are unworthy. We are not fit, but he is willing to embrace. So we are inside the kingdom of God. It is all because of its generosity. The early church had two problems, two kinds of false teachings. One is called Gnosticism, another is Pelagianism. Gnosticism, that's not our focus today, but then very quickly I'll say, what is Gnosticism? They believed that whatever you do in your body, it has got no impact on your soul or on your spirit. So they have dualism. Body is different, spirit is different. There's no, so body is meant to be destroyed, but your soul or your spirit is going to be always pure, and that will go. So whatever you do in your body, that has got no implications on your spirit. That's a wrong teaching. That's not what we believe. But the other teaching is Pelagianism, not plagiarism. Plagiarism is you are unfaithful. You are copying a material without acknowledging the source. But Pelagianism is a person called Plinius. He came up with a teaching in the 4th century that we are all given the free will. We are all given the free will. And with our free will, we can become a perfect human being. We don't need the help of God. We don't need the grace of God. We can do well. We can achieve whatever we want to achieve. We can obey God with our free will and all that he taught. This kind of a teaching is still available. With our strength, with our ability, we can do it. I can be a God's child with my hard work. That's a kind of a teaching. And this group who were murmuring belong to that category. It's our hard work. It's our ability. Why are you not recognizing it? They murmur, they grudge, they say that we are treated unfairly. During my missionary days, this kind of a complaint I always heard. You know, the senior missionaries would say that when we joined the missionary organization, we were given only a bicycle. We lived in a house which is not good at all, no electricity, no facility. But these days missionaries are coming, look, they are given motorbicycle, motorcycle, they are given good facility, they have got lights, they have got fans. Grumbling, how can this be? And we struggled, but these people are not struggling, the young people are not struggling. So that kind of a murmuring, we have been working since morning, and we are tired, we saw the sun, and we were going through a difficult time all through the day, but these people just came at 5 o'clock. For 1 hour they have been paid only equal to us. That's the kind of a complaint. See, sometimes you are first, sometimes you are lost. But celebrate. Celebrate. The one who came at 5 o'clock celebrated. Why they are celebrated? It is all because they came lost, they were accommodated, and they gave, they were given equal wage with the people who came first. So they could see the generosity of their master, and they went home rejoicing. In his kingdom, everyone has got a space. Even people who came late got a space. Rejoice. But if you are first and if you are treated at last, still rejoice, because you had been in that generous atmosphere for 12 hours. It's very difficult to accept, right? But you did not have the fear of finding a job. You are already there. You are in the presence of the generous God. Enjoy. See, that's exactly the problem with Peter. We left everything. We left our families. We left this. We left that. What are we going to get? You are in the presence of God. You are enjoying his generosity throughout the day. Rejoice. Understand that. Don't murmur. Can we do that? See, the question here is very, very straightforward. God is generous to you and to others. Can you not acknowledge this? He is generous with you. And he is also generous with others. Can you not acknowledge this? This one denarius is God's grace. Grace is given to us all freely and equally. Some availed it early, some availed it late. Those who got it late understood his generosity, but unfortunately those who got it early are not able to understand that generosity. Theodore Roosevelt says this: comparison is the thief of joy, death of joy. You cannot compare with others. I cannot compare with other 10 pastors and say I am certainly not better. I am better than the 10 pastors. That's not the way God is going to look at my work. God is going to look at my work with the grace that I received from him. God is going to look at me by the generosity that he bestowed upon me. The grace that he bestowed upon me. That's the way God is going to treat you. God is going to check you or ask you. He's not going to compare with others. Okay, this is a person who has done this. This is a person who has done it. You have done poorer than this person. That's not the way. God is judging us according to the grace that we have received from him. So let's rejoice and be glad. Now in this passage, the lost became first and the first became lost. What does that mean? There are many ways people understand it. But then from this passage, what I would say here is the one who came at 5 p.m. goes home happily enjoying. They understood God's generosity. They became first. They became first in understanding God's generosity. The one who came first at 6 o'clock got home murmuring and discontent. They failed to understand God's generosity and they became lost. Now, this passage has got another interesting thing. When these people are not able to accept the generosity of God, God becomes upset. The landowner becomes upset. Look at the verse 14. Very interestingly, the language becomes tougher here. Take what belongs to you and go. You have agreed to come and work for 1 denarius. Take and go. That's the kind of a language. You know, we have to be always overwhelming, cheerful in all that we hold in our hands. Let us not look at others. We have got many things in our hands. If you are toiling too much for the Lord, that's a blessing. There was a boy who was carrying his lame brother on his shoulders. Somebody came and said, "Is he too heavy?" This boy got angry. "What are you talking? He's my brother. It's my joy to carry him on my shoulder." That's the spirit in which we need to be doing God's work. So two questions. The last week question is, God has shown generosity towards you, so why do you hesitate to extend the generosity to others? The today's question is, God is generous to you and to others. Can you not acknowledge this? I will finish with a story. In 1935, the mayor of New York City one day had to sit in the night court as a judge. A case was brought in. An old woman was charged with stealing a loaf of bread. The old woman said she had to steal the bread to feed her 6 sick daughter and 2 grandchildren. The mayor looked at the one who brought her, the shopkeeper from whose shop she stole the bread. He looked at him and said, "Drop the case. Drop the case. You have got all generosity. You have received everything. You have got everything. Why don't you just drop this case? This is a genuine case." But the shopkeeper said, nothing doing, "It is a real bad neighborhood, Your Honor. Allowing her to go without punishing will spoil our neighborhood. She has to be punished." Mayor pleaded, but nothing happened. And at the last, mayor looked at her and said, "I have to punish you. The law make no exceptions. $10 and 10 days in jail." The mayor proclaimed the verdict and he stood up. And he stood up and put his hand in his pocket and took $10 bill and he paid the fine. He then said something. "I am going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her children, her grandchildren can eat. Everyone should pay 50 cents fine, because in this city you have allowed such a poor lady to live. Then everybody gave 50 cents and they collected $47.50, and that amount was given to the women. Be generous as your God is generous. Do not be envious because of God's generosity. God bless us all. Amen. We will have a response song and...